I kind of like being miserable.
I'll hold out for Tommy Lee.
He did try to waterboard me whilst he was high on Molly.
She's ugly.
Are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. I am, as always, your host, Brian Beckner. Stoked you are joining us here for episode 103. 103 of the program. Normally right here, I give you guys the ways to contact the show, but I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about the level of correspondence I get from you guys. I really need you guys to do a better job at this. And you know who I'm talking to. Maybe you're somebody that's thought, hey, I've never reached out before. Maybe you're somebody that reaches out often. Maybe you guys switch roles for a while. That's all I'm saying. If you want to send the show an email, you can do that. mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. If you would like to leave us a voicemail, the number for that is 949-464-TBLS. You can also like our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast, on Facebook as well. I encourage you to subscribe on iTunes and just have the show delivered to you each week. Joining me now, as always, co-host of the program, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. I don't want to delay the next introduction.
Absolutely. Also joining us, special guest, occasional guest and contributor to the program. Of course, I'm talking about the great Jason Stewart. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Hey, hello, Jason. Gentlemen. Hello, everybody. How are you?
I got a couple gripes I want to see if you guys share.
Getting into the gripes already. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. First, I like the guy. I probably had like 7-8 songs on my phone.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
But wasn't it a bit excessive with the Bowie posts on Facebook and social media the last couple of days? Like, I get he was influential in many ways, but was he the most important person to every person you ever met?
Jason Stewart, I'll weigh in.
I mean, no,
you.
But it is our time and space right now when everybody feels like their opinion is important and they have many platforms to express themselves. And it's so trendy to love the person that just died. We are so like starving for content to tweet out and Instagram out to make ourselves feel better.
How can I use this event so I can be part of the club and show you how it affected me from watching them on MTV in 1982?
I feel like that's death in general. When people die, that's the way people process it in terms of how it affects them.
Yeah, I like the guy, but like, you know, yeah. It's just, you know, enough. He could have affected some of the people a lot. He did not affect all of the people a lot. Like, you know, the guy was mainly a popular guy in the 70s. So I refuse to believe that every person in their 26-year-olds are all deeply affected equally. Like, no, that's just not possible.
26-year-olds definitely do not know who David Bowie is.
Right. But there are plenty of people everywhere, like, going on and on. Like, yeah, he I'm not saying that it, you know, nobody deserved to have this opinion, but why did everyone have to be going on and on? It was like 2 straight days of people posting about David Bowie.
I did wake up. It was weird because the night before I had just been, this music blog that I follow had this sort of career retrospective post about David Bowie, and I almost shared it on Facebook because I thought it was really cool. And then the next morning I woke up and the guy was fucking dead. And it's just always kind of shocking when someone, like, I mean, I didn't know the guy obviously, but I didn't know he was sick, and it just didn't seem like anyone knew that he was sick, right?
That's a report. Yeah, he kept it secret.
Yeah. But yeah, I woke up that morning and I opened my Instagram while I was taking my morning piss, and it was just post after post after post after post. And I will agree with that. It was a little excessive. That said, still a tremendous loss to the world. The guy was a fantastic artist.
To me, it's like it's one of these things. He was a creative guy. He did a lot of things, but the story that just hasn't been making the rounds enough, and I couldn't get enough of it when it was first rumored, and I really hoped it was true, was when that he and Mick Jagger, when they covered that Dancing in the Street song in the 80s, they had a lot of sex on that set, like coke-filled sex. And then the old explanation was like, these guys have like tapped so much ass in their day, female, that they've just said, we're going to take it out on each other on this video.
Yeah, they got totally tired of it. And isn't that what happened to Dave Navarro too?
This is the thing that I've heard people say about a lot of people, that they just got, some guys get so much pussy that they actually get sick of pussy, and they're like, I'll just switch to dudes. Like, pussy's boring now. I want to suck a dick.
Right. Like, Jagger was just one of those fellas with one too many hotel friendships.
Yeah, it just doesn't. I don't know. Obviously, none of us can speak to that. None of us have had that, or just batting away. Like, we don't have to leave the house with a Bodor to whack away the pussy that's attacking us. The hordes of ravenous poon. But I feel like, yeah, it might get a little annoying, but I just don't foresee a day or a time where I ever could possibly say, this is enough. I've had enough.
Yeah, we need, I mean, that number has to climb into the, you know, five digits, like, before I'm starting to feel that way.
Yes. Agreed. So I don't know about that, but, you know, these times are different. You know, people, there was an ambiguity there. I'm not buying it, but also one of those weird things that growing up, there was no internet, and yet no matter where you lived, everyone knew the same urban legends, like that.
Oh, the Rod Stewart semen.
Rod Stewart had to have his stomach pumped. Richard Gere had to have a gerbil removed from his asshole. Right. All sort of quasi gay.
Yeah, and rumors. we're on different coasts, and there was no internet. Like, no, where around did they come the world. From?
Yes, absolutely. And same with the Mick Jagger. Like, Mick Jagger and David Bowie do an awful song cover together in a pretty femmy video. Like, it was the 80s, and they were both wearing like billowing shirts and billowing
pretty
pants.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, and they were like dancing behind each other and like looking in each other's eyes, like side, like bouncing across each other's shoulders and looking back in each other's eyes. And it was odd, but it's just weird that somewhere a rumor starts. Like, were people like mailing rumors around the country to each other? Like, how do we, ham radio? Was ham radio to blame?
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it was truckers. They'd come into a town.
It's CB.
Get on the CB and be like, breaker, breaker. Hey, Richard's here. Just got a gerbil in his ass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like it's like a game of telephone. Like, it's in California, it starts off, they made a video, and by the time it gets to New York, they were having wild gay sex.
That's right. Full on ski poling between takes.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not buying any of it. By the way, all those dudes are super hetero.
Yeah.
And Ed and I were talking about something before the show, and by the time this show drops, as the kids like to say, this will have already happened. But Powerball fever is sweeping the nation. Are you guys caught up in Powerball fever?
Sure.
You know, I regret one time I got involved in one of those things, because I was in an office and, you know, the people next to me are like, all right, we're all in. So it would break my spirit if Art from accounting
won and you didn't. You
know, sipping one on a cold beverage on the beach while I'm sitting in the cubicle. And so I was like, all right, I'll join you, knowing I was going to lose. Like, that was the last time. That was probably 2000, 1999. Yeah. That was the last time I bought any lottery.
If I see, you know, if I'm pumping gas and I see, and it's stupid, this is stupid. This is a fallacy of logic that I am fully aware of, and yet I still give into it. If I'm pumping gas and I look over at the gas station, they always have what the jackpots are out at. And if I see three digits, I might peel a dollar out of my wallet and go buy a ticket. I'm ashamed to admit that.
I did see it outside of Bodega yesterday. It said something like you know how they've run out of numbers when they're putting it, and it said it's up to 999, yeah. And then the guy wrote underneath billions. I was like, well, maybe I should buy some. 999 billions.
I could,
you know, really be a mover and shaker if I had 999 billion.
Yeah, you'd be like a Bond villain at that point.
Right.
Like you'd have an island with a fucking missile silo on it and all sorts of like flying things. And
yeah, it wouldn't be good for Bieber if I had 999 billion.
No, you'd fuck him up. No. But we can all agree the lottery, very, very stupid. And yes. People, if you're going to play, and of course, the jackpot, I think the jackpot's going to be like 1.5 billion or something ridiculous. It wouldn't be to that level if dumbs didn't think that they were increasing their odds by buying more tickets.
Yeah, like you get 6 tickets and you really have a great shot now.
Yes, exactly. if you're going to play, and it's, you know, it's not, it's, you don't have to put a lot of skin in the game. So, yeah, there's an infinitesimal chance you could win, but you're only throwing a dollar at it anyway. But people that are throwing like $100 at it, you have still the same infinitesimal chance, whether you throw $100 or $10,000 at it. So just throw a dollar. Just $1 is the amount. Right. I think a Powerball is $2 though. So two.
And I love people playing their lucky numbers.
Yeah.
Well, what luck have those numbers brought you? Your brother's birthday and your favorite player's number, like that's not luck. Those are just the only numbers you could come up with.
Also, the balls go up to 69. Your brother wasn't born on the 66th of the month. Like you're going to get a disproportionate number of 1 through 31. If you know, you're really limiting your chances even more. I don't know. Fuck Powerball.
That reminds me. Side note, by the way.
Yeah, chime in, Jason.
I was in the pharmacy the other day. And this, I don't know, middle-aged woman.
Were you, Jason? What were you doing at the pharmacy? Were you
just getting some medication?
Were you picking up a salve?
So I was in line to get medication, and you overhear
not a salve though, right? Not a salve or lotion of any kind.
Yeah. No, okay. Nothing like that.
Okay,
I don't do that. So the pharmacist always asks for your birthday, right? And
yeah,
he does.
This woman in front of me very like loudly and clearly. Said her month and her day, and then she's like 1962, 1962,
like there was an outside shot. She was before the Civil War. She was 1862.
Yeah, it's as if the century needed to be stated.
You just have to say what you're saying is you just have to say the last two.
Yeah, 62 probably does it. Yeah,
it probably gets you there. I agree. Okay, let's catch up on some email and then we can get into our stories. First email. This is from Pete Shalitsky, regular correspondent. This is for Ed. Ed, any updates on Craigslist threesome guy? Also, catch any of these Dead and Company shows? I hear Mayer brought the fire. Ed, that one's for you.
Sadly, I don't have any updates on Craigslist threesome. Are you talking about the Grateful Dead?
Yeah, that's or is right. The Grateful Dead had
Yes. And John Mayer, is that who we're talking about? Like, yes. He's part of the Grateful Dead, like, scene?
So the Grateful Dead have reunited, and as part of their, or some of the Grateful Dead, I believe, like, there's two drummers in the Grateful Dead. The two drummers and Bobby Weir, the guitar player, are touring with John Mayer as part of the band. Are you in on that?
I mean... They are really. I know art is a matter of opinion, but not. I mean, they're really bad. Like they don't have one catchy tune. No. It's not. It shouldn't be anyone's thing. They're terrible.
Yes. Okay. I will say this about Mayer. If he's a pretty skilled musician, if he's not playing the songs he's written,
he's a coxman too.
And that is the other thing. Real slayer. He banged Jennifer Aniston, which is a high, gets a lot of respect. Like, if I saw the guy, I'd throw him some knucks.
A lot of girls in their prime. Not just her. He's gotten a bunch.
I might even ask him to smell those knucks. I'd be like, hey, John Mayer, can I get a sniff of those fingers there, buddy? Like, I bet those things have been some places.
Talk about slaying someone in his, like, in their prime.
Yeah, tell me.
he got Jessica Simpson right after she left Nick Lachey.
Yeah.
And didn't he make some like really candid public comments?
Sexual dynamo.
Yeah. Yeah. He said she was a great fuck, which she pretended to be embarrassed about. But if someone says you're great at sex, I mean, there's no higher compliment, right?
No.
You would think.
Absolutely. I mean, every time I hear it about me, I'm like, yeah, hey, you're right. Okay. Another email. Gentlemen, as 2015 has closed out, I have a few thoughts and updates I'd like to share. And this is from Reed in Houston. Update.
We know what sport he's going to go to.
He likes to talk about golf. I have yet to see a golfer wielding a firearm now that open carry is allowed in Texas. We're big in Texas, so that's good to know. Also, he sent us an email recently where we told him to quit his job. And Ed, he did quit his job.
I'm so proud of you, buddy.
I successfully managed to change and upgrade my job so that I no longer have the worst boss ever. Great job, Reed. He's also letting us know that he got engaged. Thanks for the update. Congratulations to you and Natasha, Reed. And then here's the meat of it. I think you guys have some good taste when judging movies/entertainment, so I always appreciate it when you give film/TV show reviews. I've seen a few recently, and I am curious to get your thoughts on the following. Number one, Spotlight. Have either of you guys seen that movie?
Yes. Did you see? I heard it was good, but yeah, I mean, that's a heavy subject matter.
I saw it, and Jason Stewart, see if you agree. I thought it was fantastic. It's a great movie.
Yeah, and the subject matter, though, it is like haunting and disturbing. It was much more a story about the reporting than it was about the molestation. Like, the monster really never comes out. It's just how they found out about it, how they exposed it. It's pretty good.
I love Keaton, too. I really should have
seen it. He's great.
Is it still in the theaters?
I'm sure it is because it's trying to get awards. Some awards.
Yeah.
So, I thought it was fantastic. It should win awards. It is that good. Really good movie. Ruffalo's kind of doing a weird thing. He's almost got like an Asperger-y thing. but he's good. McAdams is good. And Keaton, of course, he's fantastic.
Well, what about Liev Schreiber?
Liev Schreiber, great.
He comes off of the Ray Donovan role where he literally was molested by a priest.
Oh, I don't have Showtime. I've never seen Ray Donovan.
Oh, I've so never I'm speaking seen about either. A show that neither of you guys know about. And then he plays a role that's completely the opposite of his Ray Donovan, which is kind of like a thug, badass. And he kind of plays a boring, dull Jewish
predator. And
he's also the voice of all the HBO sports documentaries.
He's got a fantastic voice. He does 24/7. Yeah. The guy's got great pipes. Also, he adds, does Tarantino look like Jaws from 007? And the answer is yes. Yeah, he looks exactly like him these days. I made a tweet about it the other day. He looks exactly fucking like Jaws from 007.
He does. That movie, I saw The Hateful Eight.
The Hateful Eight, yes. Your review, Ed?
Long.
It's long.
It has a lot of great dialogue. It's just, you know... It needed a little editing. It didn't need to have 2 hours of dialogue before the action happens. I mean, that was a full 3-hour movie, and the last hour was by far the best. But it took a long time to get to point C.
Essentially, the whole movie takes place in one room. So imagine being in a room with someone for 3 hours. Jason Stewart, have you seen Hateful Eight?
I did, and how I describe it to people is that it's a hard movie to watch. Just like I think the last couple of Tarantino movies where you walk out, you don't really feel good about yourself. You kind of lose faith in humanity that much more. But I will say this, Jennifer Jason Leigh was outstanding.
Amazing performance. Lots of good performances in this movie.
Russell's always good.
He's good too. And I will say that the one guy that brings out any kind of entertaining quality in Samuel L. Jackson is Tarantino.
Right.
I think
he might only be good in Tarantino movies.
Well, he does. The problem is, he does a lot of movies. He works a lot. Right. And he doesn't have, I don't think, a lot of opportunity to work with really good source material. I mean, he's the star of the movie. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him nominated for Academy Award because it is that good of a performance from Samuel L. Jackson. It reminds you of just what a fantastic actor the guy is.
Yeah, overall, I'd say I liked the movie, but as I was sitting there, I was like, Jesus, this is a fucking long movie.
It's a pretty long movie.
After the fact, I think I liked it more when I started thinking back on it.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's good. I it was long, but I wasn't like stirring in my seat. I have a very short attention span, as you can imagine. And I wasn't like annoyed at the longness of it. Speaking of long, The Revenant. Now I saw Hateful Eight on Saturday, and then I got in line for The Revenant on Sunday, and the line was kind of long. And I was like, I don't know if I'm up for a back-to-back days of three-hour movies. So I have to bow out. I've yet to see The Revenant, and I really want to see it.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm going to see it this week.
I did. I saw it. And I would say this. Again, not unlike The Hateful Eight, it's really tough to watch. And when I say tough to watch, it's like, it's really violent. It's really real. And the director goes places that
Inarritu.
American directors typically stop short of showing.
Oh, yeah. Ass rape?
It's like the perfect like special effects that are kind of blended into a movie making where you don't even know that they're there, which is the best kind of special effects. Leonardo DiCaprio is amazing. But you feel two hours and 45 minutes because you feel how difficult it was to live at that point. You're right in the middle of everything. Yeah. To me, it was amazing movie making, but you can't like watch it at a crappy theater or on TV. You need to go to like one of those expensive theaters and take in the entire experience.
Oh yeah, where you can like get bourbon in your seat.
Yes.
But I kind of like being miserable. I was thinking about this when I watched that show, The Nick. I like that show, The Nick, even though
it's a good show.
There's really no reason to like it. It's just misery.
Yeah, it is. It's well, it makes you really happy that you didn't grow up at the turn of the century, the turn of the last century.
How did anyone survive back then? Anyone.
That's the amazing thing about this one, too, is you realize just how hard it was to live. And then, but if you like being uncomfortable, Ed, it's two hours and 45 minutes of being uncomfortable. Like
that's what I like.
Yeah, I really want to see it. Tom Hardy, dreamy.
Yeah, amazing.
Speaking of The Nick, how weird is it that 120 years ago, which is not that long a time, that's just a few generations ago, right. They if something was wrong with you, they would just go, I don't know, cut him open and see what's going on in there.
Like,
just,
we'll figure it out once he's bleeding out.
And now we live in a time where they can transplant somebody's cock onto you.
Oh, I did see headlines about that, right?
Yes. You can get a hand. You can get a new hand. They've transplanted faces.
Yeah, but transplanted meat whistle. Jeez.
Yes. I'd be like, hey, can I hold out? Like, you get on the waiting list and they're like, Brian.
All right, we got this Chinese man.
Your number's up. We've gotten you a cock. I'd be like, okay, let me have a look. No, sorry. I'll wait for the next one.
I'm going to green light the Jamaican one, but let me hold off.
Of course.
I'll hold out for Tommy Lee.
Okay. Cheers to 2015 and keep balling in 2016. That's from our good friend Reed in Houston. Thanks, Reed. Here's another one. This is from John in Fullerton. He takes things.
We've had a pretty rough stretch with John lately.
I'm concerned, but here goes. Hey, amigos, I know I send some semi-gross stuff, but this is serious. Have you ever had a girl put her finger in your asshole? John. If expected, is it cool? Does it work like American Pie? I don't even get that reference.
I think he's talking about Road Trip.
Road Trip. Oh, yeah. Remember he gets milked.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's you need a skilled person to do about, that. Right? Yeah. It's the closest I've ever come to hitting a girl. It honestly made me feel vulnerable when she all of a sudden dipped into my mole factory. Make me feel whole. HOLE. Good one, John. John of Fullerton, class of 2008, when I should have graduated 2002/3-ish. John is just looking for reasons to talk about all the sex he's had and to be a little bit gross.
Really is. A lot.
I would just say this. I'll answer. I'll go ahead and field this one.
Okay.
I would just say this. Be open to different experiences.
Oh, no.
But also, make sure everything's on the table. Your likes and dislikes, your go-theres, don't-go-theres, and as a rule, try to have all the hair removed from your body. From your lower body. Like, trim it up. Make sure it's clean down there. That's all I'll say. Okay, Ed, this is a sports talk show. What is going on in the world of sports? What do we need to know about?
Well, ahead of last weekend's Bengals-Steelers game, Cincinnati radio station WLW 700 ran a Big Ben alert on its airwaves. The tri-state is currently under a Big Ben warning from now until early Sunday morning, the faux news report begins. The Steelers quarterback has been spotted in the downtown Cincinnati area. All females ages 18 to 40 are to use extreme caution, especially if heavily consuming alcohol. Males should also be on the lookout, just in case. If you see Big Ben and he flashes Little Ben, you are asked to report it to authorities immediately, the spot goes on. Brian and Jason, if you can look past the sad attempt at comedy, don't you have to applaud WLW's desire to remind everyone of the monster under center for the Steelers?
The answer is yes, Jason Stewart.
Like, it's been forgotten.
I think that he has pretty much skated on that whole thing. I mean, I'll go one incident where you're accused of rape, and there might be some backstory that we don't know about. But what, multiple accusations that were very similar? He obviously did not know when to say it, when to take no for an answer, and every opportunity us as media or the population, sports population, should get it to remind everyone that he's an accused rapist multiple times.
It's because he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. That's
I wonder. That's part of it. He wasn't charged, which is a big part of it. But I've brought this up a lot, both on this show and on my weekly radio appearance. Go online. Do yourself a favor and just Google the words Ben Roethlisberger smoking gun, and you will be directed to that website, which contains the police report from his incident in Milledgeville, Georgia. And all I would say is just read that police report and then ask yourself, is this something that should be forgotten, or should it be discussed every single time this guy's name is brought up? Because I think it should.
Is that the one where he corners a girl like in a bar?
Yeah, it was like the office of the bar, and then he had one of his goons watch the door while he assaulted this person.
Yeah,
right. But back to, I know you were saying he wasn't convicted, but you know, because Michael Vick could never throw a touch pass, he's still a pariah, and it still gets brought up. But Roethlisberger is going to be a Hall of Famer. Like he's that good, and it's
two Super Bowls and Michael Vick is on this. They're on the same team now. And Michael Vick catches way more shit. And yeah, what he did was disgusting, but he also went to prison and paid his debt to society.
And those were fucking dogs. Ben is assaulting humans.
Agreed. Well, I feel like the people that have great empathy for the animal kingdom don't have the same empathy for human beings. That's just something I've noticed.
I want to say,
continue, Jason. Go on.
To button this up, I want to say on a popular local / national show, I want to say that the callers' nicknames for Roethlisberger went from Roethlis Raper to Rapelsberger to Rapels Raper.
Those are all great names. Yeah, I think that works.
I like the third one the best.
Okay, Ed, we are the pro wrestling show of record here. Obviously, you got a Jake the Snake story?
I do, and it ties into NFL quarterbacks too, sort of NFL quarterbacks. And I know everyone on the planet is tired about hearing about the mediocre, or not even mediocre, subpar Cleveland Browns quarterback who loves going to Vegas. News surfaced that Johnny Manziel has a new supporter, and that would be ex-wrestler Jake the Snake Roberts.
Wow.
Here's a quote. I'm trying to get a hold of Johnny Manziel, and I'm going to tell that boy, you need to get on Antabuse. Roberts says, I understand where his head is at. I understand what it is to be Jake the Snake or Johnny Football. You got all these expectations from other people, not just yourself, but other people. You start being the party guy for them. Coincidentally enough, guys, Jake the Snake is only a few weeks away from the premiere of his own documentary, The Resurrection of Jake the Snake. Brian and Jason, if Johnny Football ever does return that call, what do you think the Snake's first move will be to get Johnny sober? Will he put him in a month-long figure-four leg lock or a 30-day sleeper hold?
Okay. Go.
I'll let Brian pick that first.
Obviously, guys, I'm not real keyed into the world of pro wrestling. I mean, I used to be.
Those are wrestling moves, those right? are,
and I believe, I mean, I was into wrestling, but then I turned 11. But Jake the Snake was one of the wrestlers when I was into wrestling, and I believe that the figure four leg lock was his finishing move. And then he would take a snake out of a bag and put it on top of the guy. I will say this. I haven't seen him in a while, and I was looking at his picture recently.
Ugh. He's not holding up well.
Like, he looks like if Sam Elliott was on an episode of Cops. Like, Trailer Park Sam Elliott. Like, Sam Elliott got real into doing OxyContin. Like, he's very puffy, and I know the guy's been through the ringer. But Johnny Manziel could use the help. And Jake the Snake, he's offering a solution. Maybe Johnny Manziel should take it up.
I just can't imagine wanting to be sober when a guy who you're talking to is, I mean, double whammy. Not only is he a pro wrestler, but he's an exotic pet guy.
That's a great point.
Right? I mean, how can you not do drugs around that guy?
You talk about two things that I couldn't be less into, exotic pets or pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just answer your question by saying that he should pile drive him. That's the only move I know. And then what exactly is ant abuse? Is that somebody who's a little too overzealous with a can of Raid?
Yeah, that's right. Oh,
good one. Okay, guys. I want to know. I want to take a poll. What are some of the scariest two-word phrases in the English language? I'll throw one out there. Genital herpes.
Hot luck.
That's only one word.
Baked goods.
Jason Stewart.
I don't want to eat anyone's food.
How about another one? Neighbor introduction.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Potluck dinner. Yeah.
I can't get the one that we always use on that one show I used to work on. I can't get that out of my head. I can't think of any other two words.
You're talking about plunger rape?
Yes.
Oh, Abner Luima?
That's an especially bad one. I've got a new one for you guys. See what you think. Is this the new leader in the clubhouse? Two words. Semen dentist.
Oh, no.
Dr. John Hall. This guy was a dentist in Cornelius, North Carolina, which is, it's odd that they do tooth fixing down there, but.
Yeah, that's winter's bone territory, right?
He got busted for experimenting in unconventional treatments. One day during a routine visit, he told a patient that he was going to, quote, put something in her mouth that would taste funny, but would stop the bleeding. Then he used a syringe to inject the fluid and told her to swallow it. That fluid was semen. Apparently, it was not the first time Dr. Hall had injected his own semen into his patients' mouths. Two of his employees got suspicious and started collecting leftover syringes he had left in his office. Apparently, at one point, they overheard the doctor telling his patients to swallow something, and at least one female patient objected to doing so on the grounds that the liquid he was preparing to inject, quote, smelled like sperm.
Oh, no.
Eventually, he was brought to court. He was charged with 7 misdemeanor counts of sexual assault. 6 former patients provided testimonies about how the doctor had incorporated his semen into their dental visits. Not what you're looking for out of a dentist. It's already stressful enough going there.
Yeah, that's
another
true.
Woman also alleged that Dr. Hall had pounced on her in the dental chair and began to, quote, gyrate against her lower body in a sexual manner.
I don't think guys are supposed to gyrate.
No. Also, not a good move to picking up chicks just start rubbing your balls on them. I don't think they're into that.
Yeah. Right. At least give them laughing gas first.
Yeah.
Right?
Apparently, this guy was eventually collared. He did a few months in the joint and had his Yeah.
A few months.
Decades,
you mean, right? Decades. Light.
But he had his license revoked. Okay. And you may be asking yourself, what's this guy up to these days? Well, we know. He's apparently taken his axe south of the border to the, much like the Nazis, to the Central American island of Belize, where he was able to obtain a dental license under the name Robert Bob Hall, a.k.a. Bob Hall. Alas, the natives got wise and his attempts to open a south of the border practice were thwarted. Guys, should this guy have been given the death penalty for his crimes? And how quickly have the Kappa or Pike houses across the nation moved to adopt his methods as part of their hazing rituals?
I really can't believe that that's only a couple months. That's crazy. I mean, that's horrendous.
It's crazy. North Carolina.
And this week I was getting ready to complain to my dentist because I think she did a lousy job on a crown.
Female dentist. Wow. Of course. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like maybe, you know, don't complain. Could be much
worse.
You're
very vulnerable in that chair. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's a position of vulnerability.
I'm definitely not going to try to dismiss the violation of the feelings of the woman and the victims in this, but I do want to say that the person I feel sorry for the second most is the lackey in the attorney's office that had to do all of the DNA stuff that had to come up with the evidence. Just how disgusting this case must have been. How the hell did they corner this guy? Does it say in that story? Was it just testimonials leading to the same conclusion? Or I'm guessing they had to take DNA from each of them go back to him.
Good question, Jason.
Well, did I read somewhere? Did you mention that there were used vials the laying around the office?
Employees were onto him, and they collected the semen filled syringes. I will say this. One of the patients apparently said, "Hey, I don't want you injecting that into my mouth. It smells like sperm." Do you think she had to do that thing where she was like, "Hey, that smells like sperm," or what I heard sperm smells? I mean, yeah. I've never smelled it myself, but I did. I had a scratch and sniff coloring book one time. It was like a sexual, and it had sperm smell because I've never smelled it.
Yeah, and you better hope like she wasn't there with like her son or daughter being like, that smells like something."
That's a very good point, Notice. I didn't even think about it the first time. You have to be very familiar with what semen tastes like to detect that.
Like, I wouldn't know. I would be this is gross.
They didn't mention, did it stop the bleeding?
Good question. Yeah, maybe he was on to something.
Yeah, and I did a little research because I was looking and it's like, well, he chose Belize. I don't really know much about Belize. So I looked up Belize fun facts and he did probably find, you know, they stopped him. But that probably is the right community to let in a monster because they don't seem sophisticated. I read that people in Belize are afraid of swimming on Good Friday. They fear they will turn into fish if they
Interesting.
Do.
Interesting. Wow.
They also believe in a thumbless dwarf that punishes children who kill animals. Not really sure why that exists. And they have their own version of Bigfoot called El Sisimito. And he has no knees and his feet are backward and he likes flesh.
I don't feel like he'd be able to chase you very easily.
I mean, just the backwards feet is tough, but no knees.
I mean, he'd have to backpedal like Darrell Revis to get after you.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting.
That's true.
Okay, one more, guys.
Okay.
Tourism in Brussels has apparently taken a hit after the Paris terrorist attackers used it as a base. Mm. And that's surprising considering the Belgian capital's reputation for excellent beer, cuisine, chocolate, and as Ed, I'm sure you can attest, the best red light district in all of Europe.
There?
Yeah, that's supposedly a sleeper
They're complete assholes there, by the
way. Boring place. So to help increase the flow of visitors to taste their fantastic Trappist ales and friendly and welcoming French-speaking whores, the Belgian government has initiated the hashtag Call Brussels project, where tourists can use designated phones to ring locals and discuss what's happening in Brussels.
I can't imagine.
So basically, you just get off the plane and you go to these phones and you pick them up and it'll just ring up somebody's house in Brussels and you can be like, hey, Gunter, the fuck, man? How's it going? Like, what's happening in town? Like, how's the red light? Where's the best place to get a beer? Like, museums, whatever. Like, hey, guys, should the localities of Hoboken and Culver City adopt similar programs? Can I count on you guys to be waiting by the phone?
If somebody... Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
I was just going to say that, is this a home phone thing?
Yeah.
Are you calling? Okay, well, that kind of discounts most of the civilized world, right?
Ed Daly has a home phone, by the way.
My home phone is to buzz people in downstairs. It's hooked up to that. Mm-hmm. I don't use it for other reasons.
And will soon be phoned by tourists asking you what the nearest way to the Statue of Liberty
is. I mean, can you imagine some asshole wants you to, like, provide them with an itinerary for their trip?
Unbelievable.
I would immediately just, I mean, because you want to corral all the tourists, I would send them all to Times Square. I'd be like, there's a great seafood restaurant. It's called the Bubba Gump Shrimp Factory.
Right. Guy's American Kitchen.
Yeah, Guy's. That's right. We've got a little underrated gem, this chef named Guy Fieri, and he's got this Guy's American Kitchen. Or maybe, you know, if Bubba Gump, the lines are too long, go to Red Lobster. It's right there. What? Maybe go to the M&M's World. It's great.
Or maybe go the other direction and send him to the booth, Ed.
Well,
just have him go put a coin in and see what's
sadly,
up.
Sadly, they're pretty much out of service these days.
There's no more booths.
No, Giuliani took care of that.
Oh, that sucks.
But I remember going to them in my youth. It was pretty funny.
And isn't there also the opportunity for these randoms that you call to send you to a place where they will be there to murder you?
Yeah, this is Belgium. Like, well, you could get Buffalo Bill answering the phone. You know, who knows?
These people are complete assholes, by the way. I mean, I was there a couple years ago, and they're like the bad stereotype of French.
Right.
Like, they're real angry and, like, kind of nasty, and they'll smoke cigarettes right in your kids' faces, kind of people.
Well, they're like a combination of French and German. Like, yes, what was
not a
bad combo. Okay, guys, it is time. Everybody's favorite portion of the show. Of course, that is when we talk about everything that is happening in the world of pop culture. The Bachelor. We just had the Golden Globes this weekend. All of the stuff that's happening in the world of pop culture. Of course, we do that with our very own pop culture / Bachelor correspondent. Of course, I'm talking about Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
Hi, guys. I'm good.
Hey, Fancy.
What's cracking?
Yo.
Not a lot. We're just talking about a dentist who used it as part of his practice. He would inject his patients' mouths with semen.
Why?
Presumably his own.
For what purpose?
For sexual gratification.
Oh my god! Dentists are already so creepy.
It's a freaky profession.
They don't need any stories like this.
Agreed.
Yeah, I just wouldn't want to look in people's mouths. Like, you got to be disturbed to take that profession on.
And you know, 9 mouths out of 10 people have bad breath, probably.
Yes, mouths are disgusting.
Yeah, they really are.
I don't really want to look inside anyone's orifices.
Did I hear
as a profession?
Did I hear another laugh?
Oh, yeah, Jason Stewart is in the house.
Jay Kate Stu. McManus,
Jason
What's up,
Stewart,
buddy?
Too.
Hello, Kate.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Looking forward to this.
Okay, now that we got the pleasantries out of the way, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? Let's get to this because I want to talk some Bachelor.
All right, let's talk a couple of things before Bachelor. Firstly, big news of the week was the capture of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the man considered to be the world's most wanted drug lord. And unwittingly, the capture was unwittingly aided by Sean Penn, none other than Sean Penn, who had a private meeting with El Chaps and subsequent phone calls for a piece in Rolling Stone. Apparently, El Chapo wanted a biopic.
Yeah, about himself.
About himself made.
Yeah.
Sean Penn was very interested in doing it.
Was he going to play El Chops?
Yeah, he doesn't seem like he has the heft to play him. He's a great actor.
I don't know.
But
he's,
yeah, they're both about the same height.
There's
5'4".
Need a lot of girth.
There's some talk that Penn could be liable for concealing and harboring a fugitive. The Mexican government's already launched an investigation into the circumstances.
He didn't move him into his house.
Yeah.
Of the interview.
I think we have to give Spicoli a pass on that one.
He didn't have him hanging out in his basement in his place in Marin County. Like he went to see him as a journalist.
Also, sadly, January 11th, the iconic musician David Bowie succumbed to cancer.
We discussed
you guys
it.
Already talked about that.
Yes, sad passing. Absolutely.
And then the Golden Globes Sunday night.
Hold on. One thing that I read about El Chapo.
Yeah.
First of all, they put him back in the same prison.
Same place. Yeah. You're going to learn your lesson, Buster.
Yeah.
Right back to that.
Is that their like highest security prison?
Chances are they put him back on the first floor where he can have his... there's a few things I read about the guy. He sent his tunnel makers to Germany to train with German engineers
on
how to make the best tunnels.
That's true.
That's proper benchmark.
Consulted with German engineers, true.
Also, this guy is the world's biggest drug kingpin. This guy moves more weight than anybody in the world. And he says he hasn't done any drugs in like 20 years. I mean, you're in the drug business. You have more access to the best drugs.
Don't get high on your own supply.
I don't know. Yeah. It always seems like such a waste to me.
Such a bummer.
Party every now and again.
Yes, throw a party. I mean, at least have some drugs at your parties.
Well, he
put
probably
some drugs
is on
out
the.
For
he
your
probably
guests.
Is
like
on
a,
the first
like an old
floor.
Robin Williams party where they just have sprays of blow.
Yes, exactly.
We all watched Narcos.
Yeah,
we know
I haven't
how it
seen
works.
It yet.
Oh, you should watch that.
We know how this works, how this goes down.
Yeah,
and
people are afraid for their lives.
Yeah,
right. Also, El Chapo, I feel like Pablo Escobar is his style icon because he's really nailed that 90s El Traficante chic.
Fucking guy's got some shirts. Jason Stewart, your thoughts on El Chapo's shirt game? On fire?
Well, but I've always just been stunned by just how big a pub hound this guy is. This guy is the Kardashian of drug cartels. I thought the whole key to these guys' survival was a low profile, but he's got social media working. He wants Rolling Stone. He wants high profile.
He wanted
and
a movie
also,
about himself.
All these pictures of him, not one white linen suit. I mean, come the fuck on. You're a drug dealer.
No, he dresses like Escobar. Yeah. I meant Narco Traficante.
Yeah. Black, he should have the black shirt, white linen suit, a la Scarface.
Yes. That's one of the perks of being a drug
dealer.
Agree.
These Mexican or South American drug lords are notorious bad dressers.
Agreed. Okay, we'll see what happens with El Chapo. I see him getting out again. Kate.
I mean, chances are.
Okay, now you
and
can
by
talk
the way,
about the gold.
Linen?
Oh, yeah.
Linen? Not a very good thing to wear.
Oh, it gets wrinkled very quickly.
Yeah, it's overrated.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, now they have linen blends that don't wrinkle so badly.
But do they breathe?
Yeah, they do.
It's probably real sweaty.
My balls get real sweaty in the summer.
Yeah, they
bat wings in the summer.
Yeah, I go through a lot of powder. A lot of times I'll repowder.
All right.
I'll reapply. I'm not afraid to reapply.
Let's not go into your hygiene habits.
I get it all in there. I get it all between my legs, up in the crack. A lot of powder.
Yeah, but there's but there's not enough powder to combat a linen blend.
No, it's true, especially where you live, Ed, and the humidity.
Yeah, really. Yeah, it's like you're baking a cake down there.
You need natural fibers. Yeah, all summer.
A
cotton,
linen blend
cotton breeze.
Is with natural fibers.
Oh, it is.
You guys don't know anything about fabric. Ouch. Let's move on.
No, I mean, of course we don't know anything about fabric.
I know.
We're hashtag hetero.
So let's not talk about
fabric. You got three heteros right here.
Yeah.
Super heteros.
Start talking about The Bachelor.
Yeah, okay. That's good point, Ed. Okay. First of all, Golden Globes.
Ricky Gervais. What'd you guys think? He opened with a monologue. He had some pretty good jokes in it. There was one about Caitlyn Jenner not doing a lot for women drivers, which is pretty funny.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I don't know. I feel like the bloom is off the Ricky Gervais rose for me. I used to think he was really funny.
Yeah.
The stuff that, like, the shows that he's made are fantastic.
Yeah.
But I think he's really sort of really in love with being Ricky Gervais, which props to him. Guys,
he loves his diss humor.
Guys, did you watch the show?
I don't watch award shows.
I did. So, I mean, the cringeworthy stuff in between the awards, I thought was was much more uncomfortable and shocking, obviously, yes, than the monologue. So the highlighted by the line right before bringing out Matt Damon, which was incredible.
Oh, he said Matt Damon is the only person Ben Affleck hasn't cheated on.
Right.
That's a great joke.
That's a good line.
I mean, and that's the genius of it, is that these guys, these presenters come right on. So like they're in an impossible situation.
Yeah.
Look like they're laughing at their friend or just dismiss the guy.
I thought Damon handled it really well.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. It was perfect.
He's so good.
He's a good dude.
Mel Gibson actually handled it pretty well too. And then he went over and shook the guy's hand. And I don't know if you could be more harsh than Gervais has been on Mel Gibson now in two award shows.
That's true. I definitely like somebody taking the piss out of these assholes, because they're all so fucking full of themselves. So,
well, you know, to Mel Gibson's credit, he knew what was coming his way and he still agreed to do it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, he's kind of an asshole.
I'll give him that.
The all-time greatest award show was when Norm MacDonald hosted the ESPYs.
It was the best.
That was the greatest tape.
Norm MacDonald was great.
I still, about three times a year, I watch that monologue just to see all the idiot athletes just fucking sitting there stunned.
The best is that was right after Charles Woodson won the Heisman. He goes, "You won the Heisman. No one can ever take that away from you unless you murder your ex-wife and her waiter boyfriend."
Yes, so good. I would say, you know what I'll do? I'll post that on the Baller Lifestyle Facebook page because it is that good. Okay, Kate, what else is happening?
No real big upsets except maybe that Rachel Bloom who beat Julia Louis-Dreyfus in Veep. And also The Martian won in Best Motion Picture for Musical or Comedy.
Ed, you won't know because she won for, there's a something called like Rachel.
Her name's Rachel Bloom. She's in a show called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah,
because Julia Louis-Dreyfus is fantastic on.
She's so good, but I think she's won about like a half dozen of these. She could win it every year.
Also, The Martian, which won in this category, was nominated in Best Motion Picture, Musical or Comedy.
That was a little weird. That was a little strange.
Comedy. Yeah.
Was there anything funny? I mean, I like that movie.
I didn't see it, but I don't think it was.
I haven't seen it.
Definitely wasn't marketed or seemed like a comedy.
It was not a comedy. It was a good movie, but no, not a comedy.
Leo won his third Globe. Of course, everyone's rooting for him to get an Oscar finally. Haven't seen The Revenant. We almost saw it on Sunday, but we'd already done one three-hour movie. We saw Hateful Eight, yeah, and we weren't really up for like a back-to-back.
I mentioned that
You guys are on the same page.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he wins his first Oscar, by the way. He's that good. Amazing.
I just think it's time, too.
Jason Stewart, scale of 1 to 10, Tom Hardy's dreaminess. 9?
8.5.
8.5?
Yeah,
11.
10.
Crowd favorite Sly Stallone won for best supporting actor, and everyone gave him a standing.
He was good in it. I mean, it wasn't a great movie. He's not a great actor, but he's a fucking legend.
He is a legend.
He's made so much.
I was happy he won.
He's made so much fucking money for all of the people in that town when everybody got on their feet and gave him a standing ovation. I got to be honest, got a little dusty in the living room. Got a little teary. Also, he's got like five different hair systems working. He's got to cover up the back. He's got like a fake piece, like one of those pinned on pieces in the back. And then in the front, he's got all the plugs. The guy looks fantastic. We should all be on that much HGH and testosterone because the guy looks fucking amazing.
You did spend some time standing right in front of the TV screen looking at people's
hair. Yeah, I need to see what's going on with people's hairlines. Yeah.
Couple of cringeful moments. I thought Denzel, who accepted his, Cecil B. Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah.
Gave a really rambling speech because he forgot his glasses and couldn't read his notes.
Now,
and his wife kept trying to chime in and it wasn't really working out.
Hold on. I'm just going to put this out there. It was a weird thing. He brought his whole family up there on stage. And he's like,
which no one's ever done, by the way.
He's had a speech and he's like, I forgot my glasses and, you know, just maybe my wife can help me. He's very uncomfortable. But it got me to thinking, a buddy of mine, his girlfriend had this grandpa and he was from the fucking old country. He was like Sicilian or something. And the guy could not fucking read. And he would always play it off. Like if he's looking at a menu, he'd be like, oh, I'll just, and he would just point to something, or he would do the old, I forgot my glasses. Can you tell me what this says right here? And this guy was able to make it through his whole life without being able to read and without anybody knowing he couldn't
read. So what
read.
You're saying so is you're Denzel saying Denzel's can't read.
Dexter Manley?
I'm saying Denzel Washington can't read.
But wow. What's he been doing with all those scripts he gets?
All right. Okay.
His wife
all
reads
right.
them?
Yeah. He gets he gets his wife to read them to him, and then he's a fucking actor. He memorizes them.
Big claim right here.
Hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Jason Stewart, your thoughts on Denzel Washington truther.
I need to poke holes in all this, only because, all right, well, if he can't read, let's back up.
Yes.
If his wife has indeed taught him the dialogue to every movie he's ever done.
Continue, yes.
Why couldn't they, in preparation of this, that they told him a few months ago he's going to win this award, why couldn't they do this, the exact same process with this one?
Ugh, and, biting criticism. But, damn you, Jason Stewart.
The fatal flaw in this entire thing is that he's
an actor and he memorizes lines for a living.
And he couldn't freaking memorize a speech about himself.
Perry Mason Jason Stewart, you fucking asshole. great point.
Second cringeful moment was when Quentin Tarantino accept an award that Ennio Morricone won for best original score. He gave this incredibly tone deaf speech in which he used the word ghetto and claimed that Ennio hadn't won an award in the US before, which is untrue. This is his third Golden Globe. And he had a weird, he looks like he's had a lot of work done. His face is looking weird. But the whole speech was just classic tone deaf Tarantino, where everyone was just like, what the fuck going on?
He was drunk.
He's always drunk.
Yes. He was drunk. He has a lot of hair dye in his hair. He looks like Jaws from Moonraker. Jason Stewart, your thoughts?
Yeah, he just hasn't aged well. He's fighting back the extra pounds for sure.
Yeah, he's fat. He's not that old. He's only in his early 50s.
He's had weird plastic surgery and weird he's face. Always in the fake bake machine and he's got that disgusting 40 chins that they're all tanned and you can see the white in between the ripples. It's really not a good look.
He looks very scary, and Kate McManus, we've reviewed this on this program before.
He did try to waterboard me whilst he was high on Molly.
He did. Once. Well, allegedly.
You don't know what he's the greatest American filmmaker.
No, he told me he was on ecstasy.
Oh, okay. He's a fan. His work is fantastic, but it had to be a little bit freaky when he was all sweaty. He got up real close to you. He's very big.
Yes, I had to physically push him away from me and sternly tell him it wasn't cool to try to drown me with bottled water.
The guy makes good movies. I will agree with that. Okay, what else is going on in the world of Golden Globes, Kate?
Big winner was The Revenant with one Best Picture and Best Director.
Jason Stewart, I'll put this out to you. Speaking about hair, the director of The Revenant... His name escapes me. Inarritu.
Yeah.
That streak of white hair. Is that there on purpose or does it just grow like that?
I don't know. Some people have funky grays and whites in their hair. Is that outrageous there, Kate? Is that way out?
Yeah, Kate, your thoughts?
I think it's a style choice.
It's a style choice. It doesn't just grow like that.
I don't think he has just one big, thick strip of gray hair.
Sometimes people have a birthmark on their head, and that spot grows like that. Maybe he doesn't
strike me as the kind of dude.
Rasheed Wallace.
Yes, like Rasheed Wallace. He's Latin, so I don't know. I just wondered. Okay, what else is going on?
I mean that's about it. I'm not going to go through the list of who won what. That Mr. Robot that we just binge watched because everyone said it was so great. Yeah. Best TV series drama. I gotta say.
That was a show of diminishing returns. The first episode was like, well, this could be interesting.
It peaked like episode three or four. Totally. Brian and I also hated it by the end.
Totally agree with you, Ed.
I will not be joining them for season two.
Yes. Episode four I was pretty into, and then I just could not get into one scene. It was the same fucking show the whole rest of the season. I will say this about Christian Slater. What's that guy, 5'3"? That guy is little.
Oh, he won Best Supporting Actor for that show, too.
Yeah.
I thought
is also dragging on? That fucking Making a Murderer. It's 10 of the same episodes.
Yes.
It's just the guy hunched over a desk going, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And then lots of phone calls and his round-headed mom.
I love that show.
It's just the same scene over and over again.
Is it just me or is his mom, Dolores Avery, is she that guy from Scrooge that freezes to death in the sewer?
She does, yeah, exactly.
Same person?
Yeah, who thinks he's Richard Burton.
Yes.
No one makes me sadder on that show than Dolores.
Yeah. Dolores looks the same upside down. She makes me want to cry every time right I see her. I've never seen a head like that.
Also, they seem to have a thriving salvage business going. Why are they so fucking poor? Like, break down all those cars and sell them for scrap. There's a lot of money in scrap metal.
I thought the same thing. There's a lot of cars sitting around.
It's tough to get through. It's the same episode over and over again.
Oh, I love it.
Like, watch the Thin Blue Line Errol Morris documentary. Yeah. You can cover all of this in 2 hours.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be 10.
It's long. And apparently, there was quite a bit left out.
Am I the only one on this podcast who thinks that Doris is a little hot?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you might be.
Jay Stu, this is why we have you on. All right, before we move on, also crowd favorite, Jon Hamm, best actor in a TV series drama.
Guy's the man.
Yeah. Well deserved.
So fucking dreamy.
Well deserved.
Yes. I mean, there was a lot of moisture in the room when Jon Hamm got up there. Women like that guy.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently Lady Gaga can act. She won best actress in a leading role.
That remains to be seen. It's on something I would never watch.
I did see one. I saw that she won and she beat Kirsten Dunst, who was fantastic in Fargo.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah.
A lot more upper body strength than I expected.
A healthy set of cans, I noticed.
I'm really shocked by that. Yeah. Also, the snubbing of Fargo. Fargo won no awards.
That was an upset.
It was the Wolf fucking Hall best show on
Fargo.
Television.
I agree.
She was fantastic in it.
Yes. Go. I think you can still stream it. The season's over, but I think you can stream it on FX.com or whatever. You got to watch Fargo. It is so fucking good.
So good.
Love it when we all agree on stuff.
Okay. Let's talk Bachelor.
All right.
Well, Jay now Stu. We're not all agreeing on something.
Jay Stu, you're the guest of honor.
Yes.
Would you like to kick it off?
Give us your thoughts. We're through two episodes of The Bachelor so far, and I'll just throw it out to you. I'm going to go ahead and proclaim that Ben Higgins is a Chris Soules level tool. Would you agree, Jason?
Well, you know what? I mean, I would say Chris has like a bubbly personality and is interesting compared to Ben. I don't know if there has been a bigger zero on the show. I have a feeling he's really, really nice to look at. And I did like the very strategic shot last night where he's putting on his pants, but you saw the entire underwear.
I rewound that.
Yeah.
And penis protrusion before he put it on.
Yeah, he had some tidy whities on.
Jay Stu, I love that you caught that too.
He wears grippers?
Yeah. No, it was like the little shorts.
Like
kind.
Lycra.
Yeah,
short
but not
workout.
Boxers. Yeah, not boxers.
So, I just have a feeling we're going to see a lot of these attempts to make him seem interesting because when he starts talking,
super dull.
He's
no personality.
He's tall. He's good looking. But at the end of the day, he's a dude that sells software from Indiana.
You know what he is? He's
like, what?
Super,
how have we ended up with this?
He's
what,
super
what
vanilla.
We
Chris Soules was way more edgy. You know what I think about Chris Soules? I think he actually does have a personality. I think he was drunk throughout the whole season.
Well, we're in a place now where the last three Bachelors have been rejects from The Bachelorette. So we had Juan Pablo Galavis, arguably the worst Bachelor of all time. We've had Chris Soules, just a boring dude from Iowa. Now we have Ben Higgins, boring dude from Indiana. We need to get back to having princes. You know, like Harvard law, like very like decorated, you know, race car drivers, NFL quarterbacks. There need
someone
to be some
a little
some,
edgy would be a nice
some
change.
Some dudes with some gravitas.
Like,
because they should have like Ben Gary Busey on.
Yeah, there you go.
El Chapo.
My favorite, my all-time favorite Bachelor, of course.
Here we go.
Is Byron Velvick, the bass fisherman. I think he was like the fourth or fifth Bachelor. That's when they tried to skew a little bit older. Guy had some fantastic hair. Byron Velvick.
Who was the guy who was like the real card from The Bachelorette? And on The Bachelor, he became unfunny and skipped.
Bob Guinea.
What happened there? Like that was the guy that I thought had the most potential. And I'm still waiting for that guy to just come on the show, not take himself too serious.
He set the precedent for sexing like multiple girls.
He supposedly
before the Fantasy suite.
He supposedly, on the low end, slayed a half dozen of the contestants.
Well, good for him, but none of that was on air, right?
Right,
this
right.
is all behind the scenes?
He was the fat contestant on The Bachelorette that was right. funny, and then when he became The Bachelor, he got all skinny and in shape, and everyone was like, where's the fat funny guy? And then he was just like a regular Bachelor dude, but apparently did a lot of sexing on the show.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him.
So I just want to talk about, just quickly, there's always one very unstable chick, and this season it's Lace.
There's always at least one.
Jay Stu, would you agree that she seems like the most unhinged? Like the talking about herself in the third person and just her overall demeanor and behavior. Do you think she's the most crazy that we've seen?
I think Jubilee has a chance to be that in this season. And
well, I think
if you're asking
might
like overall in the history of the show, I don't know about that, but Lace.
Jubes definitely has some PTSD. I feel like she has the potential to fly off the handle at a moment's notice.
To do something very violent, which we haven't seen. They keep bringing her back. So with each episode, there's a chance she can do something very violent.
Well, I will say this about Jubilee. She's named Jubilee, and she's got a titty tattoo.
Let's fill it in. Ed, she is African-American.
She's a war veteran.
She's 24. She's got an upper titty collarbone tattoo and then an upper thigh tattoo.
Yeah. Ed, you would like her. She looks like she could be in a Biggie video.
She does. She does look like
it. Yeah. She's thick and she's shiny. Like, she looks good.
She likes Lord of the Rings. That's a terrible movie.
No black person likes Lord of the Rings.
She also likes country.
That's a typo. No, that's impossible. Well, anyways,
She did cinch him saving her last night by telling him that she was an orphan. I mean, if you ever want to get to the next show, tell the Bachelor you were an orphan.
Strategic.
I mean... Great soft story.
She's been in the shit in Jalalabad, so I would really not cross her if I were any of these broads.
These broads don't know who they're messing with.
Concur.
I'm Team JoJo.
Oh,
she's my
hot.
Favorite.
She's super hot.
She's got some personality.
Jason Stewart, your thoughts on JoJo, the realtor?
Yeah, I do like her, and I think he was one of the four women that Ben titled bubbly last night.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Bubbly,
he's got a
I
wealth of
bubbly.
Adjectives. He's
one of her favorite
from.
Movies is Patch Adams, so there's a huge red flag there.
Literally the worst movie I've ever seen.
Fuck. That's really ruined it for me.
I might have to cut JoJo now.
Oh my God. Come on. Like, she's definitely crazy. No one likes that
All
movie.
Right, Ed,
no,
it's an awful look movie. Up Leah, who I think could be a dark horse here.
Leah.
What is her favorite movie?
See, I need him to get whittled down. I will say this. I'm looking at the contestants here, and they've grayed out the ones that have been cut, and he's definitely going by looks because he's cutting all the least good looking ones.
Super simple.
Yeah, good for him.
Including Mandy, by the way.
Oh, Mandy was awful. The dentist.
Was she wearing on that group date? Those tight lycra flared pants.
Bad
with
clothes.
Print? Really bad.
Super
outfits.
Unattractive.
By the way, Amber kind of an embarrassment to her race in that foot race against Mandy.
That's well, yes.
In her defense, Mandy has like 7 foot long legs.
Yes,
and Amber is more kind of squat.
The black girl got smoked in the sprint. That's for sure. Yes, Amber was on Bachelor in Paradise, and I thought she was super hot. And I don't know, she's done something with her hair.
I think she's super hot.
She does not look as good on the regular Bachelor, and I'm disappointed.
Let's talk about also returnee Becca, definitely in it
smoking
to win it.
Smoking hot.
Do not let her stoner demeanor fool you. Just, she's got some game.
Yeah, she got a one-on-one date, and she wore a super tight, like, Club MTV
dress.
Yeah, she was looking good.
And she was just, like, throwing baskets.
Jason Stewart, your thoughts on Becca?
Virgin, first of all.
Yeah, that should be stated.
Last time we saw her, Chris was saying, I would have picked you if you liked me more. And
that's
true. So she was a finalist in a Bachelor. And I'm going to proclaim right now, for Amber and Becca and the previous season with Nick and everything, I don't think that they should allow these people to come on. It's less interesting.
It's a gimmick.
I don't think it's fair. And then Amber, she's not only was she a Bachelor entity, she was a Bachelor in Paradise entity, yeah. And she spends all of last night complaining about not getting time. It's like, you should know the strategy of the game.
Was Becca on Bachelor in Paradise?
No, she wasn't.
Well, this Becca must be really dumb because they say, like, in their questionnaire, can't live without, and that's where you say, like, oh, your favorite, you know, song or something. She put food. Well, of course you can't live without food. I mean, nobody can live without food.
She should have said water. But she's very literal.
On the group date, Becca and JoJo teamed up, and they all the girl teams had to pick a state, like a shape of a state, yeah, and go up to a big map of the U.S. and put that state where it should be.
Yes.
And what they had,
they took Indiana.
They took Indiana and they turned it like horizontal and put it where Pennsylvania is.
They took
is.
Indiana and they That's turned so it sideways
so, yes,
and put it where Pennsylvania
stupid.
Should be.
I wouldn't be able to do that. Sorry.
I will say this. I would like to get Becca and JoJo in a group situation, if you know what I mean.
I would like to get them horizontal.
Turn
their Indiana horizontal.
Yes, Jason Stewart gets it. Absolutely.
I think Leah is a dark horse. She's going to be one to watch. Also, obviously, Lauren B., the flight attendant.
I'll tell you right now, Amanda would be winning these things if she hadn't dropped two kids. She should have kept that. She should have kept those two trophies of hers a secret. Huge mistake.
She has a baby voice. She talks in baby voice, though, and you can only take so much of that.
Yeah, that's true. She's pretty attractive. I'll say this. The twins, what are they still doing there? Like, the producers obviously got a harebrained idea that having twins would be funny. I'm done with them. They got to go.
They're not a funny gag.
They're denying roses from more
deserving brats.
Well,
there's always a few
brats.
Producers' picks, and in this, you know, where we are now, it's Lace, obviously, and the twins.
Okay. Anything
but,
else?
But you will say this, like the twins, if you're going to have twins on a show like this, they need to be sexed up twins. A lot of innuendo, a lot of insinuation stuff, and they're not. And what I've noticed too, the FaceTime that they've gotten, and if you watch more of it, you need to let me know if you agree. There's an ugly twin and a nice looking twin. And if you look at the picture,
Emily's the ugly one.
No.
Haley's the
ugly exact
one.
Opposite.
Yeah.
I think Emily is the much more digestible twin.
I think they're both unattractive.
I'm shocked that they're not forcing Ben to go on one-on-one dates with both of them at the same time.
Yeah. Pit them against each other. Like, make them wrestle and fight.
I wouldn't be surprised if that does happen.
Yeah, make them stab each other in the back. Okay.
That's all I got. I've got a recap for this episode, too, up on the ballerlifestyle.com. If you guys want to read it, go check it out.
But, okay, before we sign off, give me a top four. I'll start with you, Jason Stewart. Your top four Bachelorette contestants at this point.
Okay, well, I'm going to get my top four, and I'll start with Olivia. And I have to talk about Olivia. And am I the only? I don't really go on Twitter to see what everyone's saying. I don't go on Reality Steve. But am I the only one who thinks that she looks like the chick from Avatar? Like, she can be that alien chick looking in two different directions.
Wide set apart. You're totally right. And what about the way she?
I'm the hero that's never seen Avatar, by the way, and I never will.
Jace, do. What
about her? Horrendous movie. Horrendous.
Of course.
What's her favorite movie?
No, he said Avatar's a horrendous movie.
Well, it is. What about her go-to facial expression where she opens her mouth as wide as she can?
Yes.
I talk about all this on my recap, by the way.
Yes, Jason.
It's like a Seinfeld episode where she's hot and then she starts making these facial expressions and becomes very ugly, and I hope Ben realizes that. But I'll put her at the top.
All you've done is talk shit on her, and she's in your top four.
Well, just because she has him under that trance. She is the, what was her name last year until he figured it out? The drama queen who cried a lot.
Brooke
Tiana? Or whatever.
No, she had she was like sort of Asian looking long hair. Everyone thought she was going to win.
And remember, she came back as the mutual bachelorette and got voted off.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Britt.
Britt. She's like the Britt of this season. She'll be the front runner for like half of it, and then he'll figure her out.
She is the actual worst.
I'd say Kayla's the Britt of this season, but continue.
Okay,
I need four.
I know. So you put Avatar as number one right now. JoJo's in the mix. Is Leah, just to make sure, which one is the flight attendant? It's Lauren B.?
Yeah, Lauren B.
Okay, I'll put Lauren B. in my four, and then maybe as a dark horse, like sleeper, I might go with Jennifer, the brunette that he seems to like a lot.
Sure, the tall one. Okay, I've got, I don't know about right now, but just in general, like how it's going to play out. I've got JoJo, Leah, Lauren B, and Kayla.
Oh, wow, Kayla, you're right. She's a little too smart for the room. Like, she seems to have her shit together, and she's articulate.
She's very, she's well-spoken. She can string a sentence together, which is more than you can say for most of these girls.
I'm not particularly attracted to Asian women. That's all I'll say.
I think she'll be the bachelorette if she's not chosen. You heard it here on this podcast.
I think she's cute.
Here's my top four, which also you could just call the top four. Number one, Becca. Huge fan. Massive fan. Really, really nothing wrong with Becca. Number two, JoJo. Banging. Super hot. She's a realtor. She's got a career. I don't care about that. She's banging as well. Hold on. I do like Amber, but wild card, Shoshana, the Russian. Russians are very, very sneaky. Everyone knows that. She could have been in the KGB. She barely speaks English, which could be a big benefit. Need to find out. Ben needs to find out before he picks her whether or not she has a mother, because Russian mothers are could
part
be
of the
a problem.
They're also yes. part of the package.
Now, she'll be living with you. And fourth, personally, I'm going to come right out and say it. If I'm Ben, I keep Jubilee around for fantasy suites because she knows what she's doing. And you get her in that fantasy suite, she's going to try to win. She's going to get in there. She's going to make something happen. She's going to give you something that you've never had before.
What makes you think she knows what she's doing?
She's been in the shit in Jalalabad. She's got a tattoo on her titty.
Right, but warfare is not the same as sex.
It isn't, but the kind of person that will go to war will challenge you for the bedroom title as well. That's all I'm saying.
So what are the common denominators among the three of us? JoJo and...
Love JoJo.
Leah? No, I didn't pick Leah.
You didn't pick Becca?
I picked Lauren B. No, Becca's out of my top four.
Oh my God. You're a virgin shamer, Jason.
Yeah, screw that.
Okay. Excellent job, guys. Great, great, great input. This is the Bachelor show of record. I'm all in. That being said, this is the hottest group of Bachelor contestants I've seen in quite a long time. He's rid the group of most of the dead weight at this point. He just needs to get rid of those twins, and then we'll be really moving. There's going to be a lot of making out going on this show. I'm in. I'm all in, despite the boringness of this Bachelor. Guys, excellent job. Ed Daly.
Hey.
Fantastic work, as always.
Yeah, great job, everyone.
Kate McManus.
Yeah, we killed.
Great reporting, as always. I appreciate it.
Thank you much.
Jason Stewart, always, always, always enjoy having you as a guest. We will definitely catch up more throughout the season of The Bachelor.
Let's do it. Love coming on, guys.
Appreciate you having you on. So, for special guest Jason Stewart, for Ed Daly, for Kate McManus, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been The Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Later, everyone.